listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 24th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Happy spring. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to tonight's broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we are going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, now tonight, we're going to be a little bit more freeform. You know, we have a few things we'll talk about. We talked about a few ideas prior. We've had a couple suggestions in the chat. And I think we're going to have a, you know, fun and interesting discussion tonight. And Dr. Hunter, I know that you, just this past Saturday, had celebrated the spring equinox, if I'm not mistaken.
I did, and I did with my family, my grandkids, and yes, the Easter Bunny comes on spring. And for those who don't know, the word Easter comes from the goddess Eostra, which is also known as Ostara, Istra, and that's where the Christians got the name. And of course, they decided on a different date, but we had a nice dinner. We say prayers. We eat an egg, which I'll tell you about that in a minute. Eat an egg, keep the shell for the next year. You know, I mentioned that in last week's program.
Oh, keep it for the next year. I don't think I recall that.
Well, there's several ways to do it. You know, we can put the shells in the garden, protect the home and the property. Or you can keep them, put them in your own little medicine pouch, tuck them away. You know, that's your protection. And each year you renew that. So the old ones you'd put outside, you know, and so on, discard them. So there's different, you know, different kinds of things you can do. So it's whatever you prefer, and it's symbolic, right? That symbolism.
So, yeah, symbolism is so much a part of our lives and how we, you know, view the world. And, you know, speaking of which, I know you had alluded to this just a moment ago. Unfortunate that this tradition is going to try to change a little bit going forward.
I know. I've had this sinus thing last few years, and, you know, trying to figure out allergies other than environmental. And I went to the naturopath, gave a whole bunch of blood, took a few weeks, and I get 6 pages in my allergy report, top of the list, besides dairy, which I knew, is eggs. I can't eat eggs. Who knew? And I think there's something, egg in something I eat every day. And so I'm in for a really interesting lifestyle change.
Well, what about egg salad? Can you at least eat that?
Michael.
Oh, that's the best, though. I mean, some things are worth suffering for.
I know. Well,
like in a good
it's
deli.
It's going to be an interesting thing. I already read ingredients on all bottles and stuff. I don't eat fast food or a lot of canned goods, but you know, there's some things you have, and so I have to read everything. I even have this wonderful, really good, organic mayonnaise that I love. Well, mayo is eggs, so that's off the list. So
I think
I guess, welcome to oil and vinegar.
So. Well, lifestyle changes, you know. And I think that you psychically transmitted some sinus issues to me because I felt fine until we started talking about that. And
yeah,
now,
sure.
The last 10, 15 minutes, my sinuses are getting a little stuffed up and, you know,
yep.
Kind of have to swallow a little bit more when I'm going through the introduction and the 9 principles. I'm pretty sure that you psychically transmitted that. So, you know,
Michael, that's your issue.
I think you made it my issue. I think that's what happened.
No, don't be blaming me. Well, it's just going to, it really will change up a lot of things that I do. And it doesn't mean I have to eat the egg. I can go and, you know, give it to nature. It's lots of things that I could do that are equally symbolic. But
True. It's
the day-to-day thing that, you know, it's going to be a challenge. So,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Well,
you know,
the modern era, you know, we have a wider variety of different things to eat and consume, and there's different ways to make things. So there's always new vegan versions of things that don't have those kind of animal products in it.
Yeah. So it's going to be very, like I say, it's going to be a ride. What the heck? I just don't like the sniffles, the congestion, and, you know, things.
Oh,
I'm
there
sick
you go
with
again.
So I'm going to, I am going to do this. So I'll give you reports on how I'm doing in my eggless and my newly found allergy program. I'm not calling it a diet. I called it eating program. So that's where that goes. So it's spring. It's a new year. Equal daylight to night. That's good. Now we go into the summer. You know, we'll go into the summer months after this, as we know, and more daylight. I love that. My favorite, some of my favorite times of year. They're all my favorite times of year.
I like fall. I like spring. I hate summer. I detest summer. It's really my my least favorite season. The only good thing about it was getting it off in school in the old days. But it's just hot, sticky, and, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, it was fun when you were a kid, but now it's just, it's a pain, especially living in the, you know, Florida. It's humid. I miss those snowy days, but it's funny how you romanticize things, because I talk to so many people that live in different climates, and they get frustrated having to warm up the car, you know, scrape ice off the windshield, things like that that I don't have to deal with. Admittedly, it gets pretty humid, so I have to fire up the defrosters to get my windshield, you know, clear enough so I can see through it sometimes, but, you know, it's just different when you don't have to deal with the snow all the time to get to work and things like that. So from my perception, and what is metaphysics is not talking about awareness and perception, snow has always been a wonderful thing because I have all those fond memories of it as a child and as a, you know, kid growing up.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting how just thinking about something, you know, can cause a physical reaction. Like just thinking about my sinuses and things like that brought my attention to it. Exactly. And it's so weird how belief, you know, has that kind of power. You know, there's been a couple of topics that are been interesting that we're gonna, you know, kind of touch on. And I think Wendy put out a good one of you know, intuition, how to know when to believe something, and that's such a key thing, and belief is such a powerful thing. You know, how do you
intuition? Yeah.
You know, how do you intuit what to put your faith into? You know, and that kind of what is going to hold water. And I think that we have to use our intuition in accordance with our reason as well, in our ability to think critically.
Well, I completely agree, and I do kind of break it down in my own self study. You know, kind of thing is that knowing the difference between your instinct or, you know, autosensory perception, like when I'm in a room, how do you feel? Or, you know, hear a name, how do you feel? That kind of thing. It's also then to know when it's my intuition versus what I, you know, might like to believe. And I got to tell you, it's very hard to be objective, you know, about yourself. I'm better at being intuitive for others, because if I have no emotional attachment, and that's the key, then I can kind of get a sense or see clearer. If I have an emotional attachment to an outcome, man, I can't think straight. It's just wishful thinking. So it's a tough one. Now, when I read for people, I will tell you this much. When I read for people, nothing else in the world exists. And it's my focus is like plugged in to you and the here now. And so I can stay clearer. And anything that goes on in that, I'm kind of in a zone in that giving attention to. So I trust, and I have learned to trust that intuition, you know, of being with somebody and working through it. Now, I'm very clear to tell people that just because we see things doesn't mean they're written in stone. The whole point of intuition is to help you navigate life, right? And which way do you go? But, you know, that doesn't always work either, because we're all, as my old teacher Frank would say, subjective. Whereas as objective as our subjectivity allows us.
Yeah.
So it comes with practice and knowing yourself and knowing honestly what your biases are, what your prejudices are.
Oh, absolutely. Being aware of, you know, mm-hmm. those kind of perceptions and beliefs that you hold. And, you know, being able to cut yourself some slack and cut other people some slack too in terms of how you perceive the world is also important in coming to kind of a realist, because sometimes, you know, your bias is going to say that mistakes you make are, they're explained, they're reasoned, you know, you can, well, it happened because of this, this, and this, it's not my fault, but the mistake somebody else makes, well, that's insane, they couldn't have done that, that was incompetence, they need to be punished for that. I think we need to, you know, also be a little forgiving with ourselves, be a little forgiving with others, and that just came to mind when we talked about biases.
Sorry, Michael. I absolutely believe that we're driven by our organics, and hormones are huge, emotions are huge, and that's why we make that decision we do. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I knew going up to the altar that this wasn't a good thing to do, you know, and later ending up in divorce. But you're there, and you go against your intuition because you're emotionally driven.
Well,
you know, you're physically driven.
And there's such a momentum of build-up in terms of everybody's expectations. But listening to your intuition listen to your gut. It's usually going to be right, and it's usually going to guide you in a direction that is going to make you happier. Usually. You know, some people just are very not well-adjusted. And they, you know, sometimes it can... I myself have to be aware of my tendency towards, you know, chaos and things from growing up around it a lot. So I have to be on the lookout from buying into things, from making something more than it is, from, you know, going from one issue to another, and realize, you know, that the world is wonderful as it is.
You could be intuitively drawn to something, but emotionally paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And not follow through with that intuition out of your own fear or own insecurities or, you know, pride, ego. There's, you know, a whole number of things. That's why I say we're driven by that.
Of course. And I think it's also, well, in my case, important to note that, to me, intuition doesn't come in just one voice. There are, you know, multiple different voices talking in terms of what you're intuiting, what you're sensing, and sometimes they conflict. And it takes a bit of wisdom to, you know, I try to pick which voice, which message is the best. Which one are you responding to out of maybe a dysfunctional sense of chaos or being drawn to chaotic situations? And which are more rounded, healthy, balanced, where you know that it's going to be leading to a happier life situation? And you can kind of feel those things in your gut. Like there's just a moment where you realize, you know, as long as, you know, this is going to be going on, I'm not going to be happy. And you've just known that for a while, but you never admitted it. So what happened, you know, as it's been written in the in Oracle deck and said elsewhere, you know, you suffer longer and you still change later.
And well, when, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you listen to that, you know, instinct early on, if you learn how to listen to the right instincts, the right intuition, which voice is talking, it can save you a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, and it can lead to a happier life.
Well, Wendy made a comment in the chat. I go against my intuition all the time because I feel it's out of emotion, later to find out I was right all along. How do I choose? That is a huge, loaded question. And it's a really good question, Wendy. That's observation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's observing yourself that there's something in you that's contrary. And that's, you know, it's really about trust. And you say, I'm going against my intuition. But, okay, you have a thought of something. You think that's emotion, but it's your intuition. You have another thought or feeling, and you think that's intuition, but it's emotion. You get confused. So with experience in life, it's that experience that you observe, the feeling that you get, and it's a clarity, in my view. It's that, and I guess some of the questions you can ask is, what's in it for me to have this feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are my gains, if you will.
Right. And, you know, nothing in life is one size fits all. Everything is going to be different for everybody. And everybody is going to have a different right into it. What's the right intuition for one person may not be the right intuition for another, and how they lead their lives or what they need to be drawn to or their energy.
Well, that's true. Absolutely. But what it is an observation to know what is emotional,
mm-hmm,
because of a gain versus what is actually an intuition to say, yes, that's the right thing to do or that's the right path to follow. Because and that's why it's kind of a, if you have like your checklist, right, a little checklist. I have this feeling about something, this thought, and okay, why do I have that thought? Do I benefit this way? Do I benefit that way? Do I have a bias? And it's no to all of those. So, you know, that might be an intuition. Let me watch how this unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
And if it unfolds in a way that you said, it was my intuition, you see. So it's kind of that practice. I know it's so cliche to say that, but it's that practicing about studying yourself. Observing the feelings with the thoughts and how they kind of line up. Dr. Stevens making a comment that he'd like to add that the left and right brain each have different approaches to the topic. If the decision judgment's made from within the physical reality, there's conflict. If one moves up in consciousness, the intuition comes forward. I totally agree, but that's what I said before, is that the organics rule. So if you're in the physical plane, you're living in a body, you have all these other elements, organic elements going on, it's difficult to know what is my higher consciousness versus my body. And that's what we're learning about, and how they partner, work together simultaneously, but trying to figure out, well, what's what. And that comes with practice and time and observation, and sometimes it's years. And I got to tell you, sometimes I'm way off base too.
Oh, it happens to all of us, and it would be impossible for us all to be right about our intuition 100% of the time. You know, and our gut, our intuition, our, you know, that kind of instinct that you try to follow is often used for those things where you just don't have an answer and you have nothing left to go on but your intuition and your gut. And in those times, I think it's important to remember yourself, your emotional energy, which intuitive voice might be the most reasonable, or which side of yourself really should you be listening to. And I think that, like you had said, if you pay attention to yourself over time and maybe even you know, document it, write it down. How do you feel in this moment? You know, how did this work out? This was my feeling this in this time after the experience. How did it work out? Was it accurate or wasn't it not? And oh, I was just going to say, you know, and it's just, it's a broad, you know, real broad topic in terms of it goes into everything else because
But the minute you observe something, it changes.
Well, of course.
So that's why I always tell people I completely forget a reading when it's done. I intentionally do that. But several reasons I do that. I don't want all that clutter in my brain. I don't want your energy to continue in my life. That's so I can, I don't cut it off. I just, you know, gently kind of let it go. And, but the other is that if you call me tomorrow, I know that your life could be entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because that's the point of intuition. Once you have the information and you act on that information, it changes the frequency and now it sets up a different course of action. So, mm-hmm. you know, and we're getting into quantum physics here. You know, once something is acknowledged, it changes. See?
Well,
it doesn't stay the same.
Everything affects everything else.
Yeah.
You know, intent is a huge part of that, you know, the intent that you're putting out into the world, it changes the physical and the, and, you know, some things beyond. And there's, I'm just trying to think about how we can tie a couple of topics together before we get into our cards coming up later tonight, but go ahead.
Say this, Wendy, saying when it's really important, you don't want to be wrong based solely on intuition. I get that, Wendy. And I do know, I think fear is sometimes our very best friend. I mean, not that we run our lives by fear, but I remember a case when my kids were still high school age, and they were going to go out at New Year's and see some friends, and the weather had been really nice, and that very day, New Year's Eve, I looked at my daughters and I said, I just had this overwhelming feeling. I don't want you guys to go out. I really don't know what's going to happen, but mm-hmm. I don't want you to go out. And, of course, they phoned their friends and said, oh, my mom had a flash. I can't go, which is kind of funny because they knew me well enough to know that I don't run their lives. I don't do that. When I make that kind of a statement, it's serious, but I had this overwhelming, oh, and sure enough, by like 5 in the afternoon, this massive blizzard came flying through. And so I was really glad. And it doesn't matter to me intuitively what would have happened. It only matters to me that they were safe. And so it could have been they could have gone in a ditch. They could have run into something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the event would have been.
It could have been completely unrelated to the blizzard. Maybe the destination
exactly.
they were at, something could have happened.
Exactly. So,
we live in a world of almost infinite variables.
Exactly, Michael. Thanks for that. I just trusted my intuition. And at that point, we could all say, oh, well, there's a great blizzard, right? But, it got to trust that feeling. And if I was wrong, I'd say, well, you don't know. It's kind of like driving. You got a destination and for mm-hmm. no reason at all, turned the wrong corner and went around and detoured 3 blocks. You'd say, now, why did I do that? I said that there's something there. It could be your autosensory perception, thought of something ahead of time. You know, got you out of the way. You're unconsciously operating. Or it could have been an intuition. It really doesn't matter what that is. It only matters then. You say, well, I must have avoided something. Now, what would it have been that I avoided? I don't need to know.
You know, it's funny. I tell myself that every time I'm stuck in traffic. I say, because I'm stuck in traffic, I'm not going to get to the destination at the time I thought I was. So maybe I avoided some horrible thing, like maybe because I'm delayed, I'm going to miss that guy that blew past the stop sign and would have, you know, T-boned my car.
Exactly.
So I think about that so I don't constantly pound my steering wheel and shout at the traffic for going, you know, like 65 in the fast lane. And, you know, literally losing your mind doesn't help. So I go to these things about how it could be beneficial. But
exactly.
And it was just
it's just a thing. Yeah.
It is. And there's so much that we don't know. There's so much that we don't know, and it's impossible to know, you know, because of all the infinite variables.
Yeah.
And
then it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Then you have to say, it just doesn't matter what it was. It's just we're doing our best and hopefully becoming more conscious. And I know Dr. Stephen made that comment, but we have an advantage of being a little bit older and, you know, looking back, and we see more things more in retrospect. When you're 20 or 30 or 40, you know, there isn't that same retrospect. And so gradually, you know, it begins to change. And that does not mean to say somebody who's very young can't have a great intuition. I'm just saying in determining or distinguishing between intuition and what's emotional is a little more difficult when you're younger, because there's so many other organic elements at work, you know, nesting and dating.
You need time to learn about yourself because... Excuse me, I had to cough there because somebody psychically gave me allergies. But anyway, back to the discussion at hand, the real important discussion. And it's, you need time to learn yourself. You need time to learn why you think the way that you think. And one of the more dangerous things that I've also had to be wary of is wanting to believe in something, or equally to not believe in something, because of how it makes me feel or because of whether or not it's what I want to be true. And that desire for something to be true is going to warp your perceptions. You know, I've always tried to think about, you know, some of these crazy things that you have out there, like flat earth. Why would somebody believe that the earth is flat? And what's the benefit there? And I realized, you know, somebody was putting it out there that, you know, the people that are in charge of the cabal, that are, you know, pulling the wool over your eyes, they want you to feel insignificant. They want you to think that the universe is massive and infinite and that you're but a small speck in it. They're lying to you because, in fact, you're much more important than that. You're the center of the universe. The earth is flat and God is, you know, exists, and it's all meant to lie to you to make you feel insignificant. And then it clicked, okay, that's what it's about, that you don't want to feel small in a large universe. And of course, that's what it was for them. Sometimes people just like to be contrarian because going against the grain, it makes you feel unique. It gives you a unique outlook. You know, you have your own kind of take on things. But, you know, I think there are better things to be contrarian about. Like DC comics is better than Marvel comics. That's being contrarian in a healthy way. I mean, it's obviously untrue, but hey, you can go that way. Or liking Star Wars more than Star Trek. See, it's, you know, healthier way.
I had a conversation similar to a friend last night on the phone, and who's just split up with somebody. And so in her reality and her perspective, I said, no, I'm totally with you. She goes, well, what's the truth? I said, well, he has his own reality. And I kind of described what his reality might be. She goes, well, that's crazy. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, it's his reality. Do you see? It's how somebody sees the world. I said, no different than, you know, Christian won't see Buddha in a vision. And, you know, somebody who's of a Hindu faith isn't going to see Christ in a vision. You see, it's we all have our own perspectives and our own views of things. I think that do get off track. Sorry?
I was just going to say, what does it mean if I saw the Kool-Aid man in a vision?
You want Kool-Aid.
I'm just thirsty? Or is it that I want, you know, significant structural damage to my wall where you burst through instead of using the front door?
Or you're having a childhood flashback. I don't know. So, but you see, everything is based on your view. And I think we do get out of whack when people want power and control.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody mentioned, I think, in the chat about, Dr. Stephen, about selling books. There's a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I also said in this conversation last night that it's the New Age movement did us a really good favor, all of us a good favor, in the ways that we don't go to jail anymore for practicing witchcraft or get burned at the stake. And that's wonderful.
Sure.
The flip side is that everybody wants to come up with something new, and they just make stuff up.
Right.
They just make it up.
Well, see, I always associated, you know, the fact that witches are no longer burned at the stake, that people can be, you know, eccentric without being put to jail or put into an asylum. I kind of took that along with more of the Enlightenment, and as we became more of an enlightened people, we realized that it's not a big deal if somebody wants to think this, that, or the other, as long as it doesn't impact, you know, their ability to exist in society or their ability to not hurt others. And it's insane how much control there was attempted over people and how they would view the world and how they would think. But of course, when you give people freedom, oftentimes we are going to make the wrong decision. That being said, whoever's in charge could also make the wrong decision. But, you know, when look at the internet and how it's democratized so many things. And in so many ways, it's great. And in so many ways, it's awful. The internet is the worst, but it's also the best. Because it's in how it's used, it's in who's using it, and it's in the fact that when you give a lot of people a megaphone, you know, a lot of different ideas are going to come to the forefront, just like in this kind of New Age movement we have now, where people want to set themselves apart by a unique idea.
I think you just nailed it right there. People feel insignificant, Michael, and they want to be significant and want to be validated or heard, and it's sad in our societies that it's usually the fewer voices that become so impassioned about something that they make the biggest stink, and the rest of us kind of sit around and say, I don't know what the big deal is, but before you know it, they've changed a law, you know, they've changed another bylaw. They've changed another, and I'm thinking, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. And you know, it's, but again, people want that power. They want that significance. And the megaphone on the internet is, it's huge.
It is. You know, I mean.
And it's quite damaging, to be honest. Because I think that we are so, what's that word? I want to say we're so fragmented as a society that nobody really knows what binds us anymore, you know?
Yeah. You know, there are things that. Sure, we don't all watch the same TV shows like we used to. You're not going to ever have another MASH moment where, you know, most of the adult population of a country is watching the same show. Mm. You don't watch the same news sources, and that's becoming an issue because now we're forming different views of reality. But at the same time, there is so much that we have in common. The vast majority of things we have in common because we all want to live our lives. We all want to survive. We want to experience happiness. We want people to love. We want to be loved. We want to be part of a...
Yes, but my God is going to have more favor on my football team tonight than yours.
Not if I pray harder. And, and you know, then you have to think about... I always remembered how odd it was that they were, you know, sacrifice fruits and vegetables and different grains and things back in the day, along with animals. But sure, they would do sacrifices of all these things. So I'll take some Twinkies, I'll light them on fire, and I'll say a chant to, you know, Cthulhu or something like that. And hopefully then, you know, the Broncos will win. But
that's true. Yeah, it's people are competitive because they want theirs to be more special.
Well, that's,
you know,
we are competitive. And
yeah.
We all need to set ourselves apart and set our own identities as being something unique. And we need to establish ourselves in the tribe that we're in, which leads us to some interesting decisions, myself included.
I think it's harder to find our intuition when we're in a bunch of muck.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem, you know, because what's real? You know, that's why it's so important just to know yourself.
Yeah.
Just know and, you.
You know, as we kind of transition into our cards tonight, I know that another topic that I've mentioned was kind of what is the meaning of apparitions, which I think plays into to perception, which I also think plays into this idea of what is real and what is not. What is a figment of our imagination, what isn't? Mm. And are we perhaps putting more stock into something than it deserves to be there because it's what we want to be true rather than what is true? Or by the same token, if you don't want to, if you see something, you just, it conflicts with your worldview of what's possible, you might just block it out as something that's possible. So you see an apparition, something that might have passed over from the other side, you might disregard it because you're not ready to accept that as a possibility. So just some interesting thoughts, and I think we're going to probably explore it.
I think next week we'll talk about those spirits, eh?
Sure, that works for me.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So
I got a couple of really recent stories told to me that are very interesting in that light. So we'll address it. I like it.
Well,
we have cards now.
I think it's that time. So
it is.
We're gonna pull from our inner oracle deck, and we're gonna pull a tarot card, and we're gonna see what kind of story it tells. So
yes.
Without further ado, let's see. Who do we have up first?
Edward, I think.
I believe you are correct. And let's see, Dr. Edward. We have number 6, boundaries. All right. And let's read from the good book about boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? So, good message there. And of course, the good book I refer to is the guidebook for the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards. So, I get the easy job. I get to read out of the book. And Dr. Hunter, you make the real intuitive.
I just follow the yellow brick road and whatever these little messages tell me. So with boundaries in support of that, Edward, I got the Ace of Spades. So in tarot language, that's the Ace of Swords. And I think, the Ace of Spades is a matter of success, but through a challenge. So when your Wendy just wrote that Edward had boundaries as a card a couple of months ago, that's awesome. That's another consistency there. But just knowing where your boundaries are and knowing other people have boundaries also, and it might be a challenge in that communication, but success is assured and that you rise to the challenge, so to speak. So boundaries are a learning thing. Because even when you think that you're respecting boundaries, somebody thinks you're not interested. So, you got to be careful about those boundaries, and it's a learning curve. And knowing the people that you're, interacting with also. So I hope that helps. It's just a little reminder there, Edward. So,
and it's a good reminder because we're such social beings that it can be easy to fall into unhealthy patterns. And when it comes to boundaries with other people and when it comes to those things. But reading in the chat about Dr. Edward having seen that before, of course, Wendy had marked from December the 23rd. So it is interesting how things pop up. But all right, we have Jamil next. Interesting. We have wild card number 3, blocks.
All right.
There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open. So if that resonates...
Well, the King of Swords is the support energy to blocks, Jamil. The King of Spades in regular card language. And I would say here, watch to not be too assertive. Of course, the King of Spades can be quite aggressive in some ways, takes charge, getting things done, moving forward. But blocks is, number one, don't bang your head against a wall and don't hurt anybody when you're doing it. But kind of like navigate your way through things assertively but gently. There's a way to be assertive that's not aggressive. There is a distinctive difference between the two. So this is just saying forge ahead, be assertive, but know where the blocks are. I always have this 3 times you're out kind of thing. Just then skip over to something else where your energy is you know, put to better advantage. It's not to say we completely discard something. Sometimes it's about the timing. And then you can revisit it later and see if it's still a good one for you. So I would say move ahead as you know to, assertively, but don't push the envelope, so to speak. So I hope that makes sense. Perseverance, but don't hurt yourself. I have done that myself. I'm insistent on getting something done, and yikes, you know, back off. So, all right, we have Wendy up next, Michael. I lost sound. Are we on?
I was on mute. This is not the first time I've done that. You might be shocked, the audience, to hear that I have before talked on mute. But it's happened again.
Because you were sneezing and coughing because I gave you your allergy fit.
Well, I appreciate you taking responsibility for that, Dr. Hunter. Owning up to it, that was the adult thing to do. So thank you for that. But Wendy,
Yep.
Our card keeper, looking for patterns in, you know, how many of these cards are coming up again and again. I've always thought that probability and statistics is where a lot of the mystery and wonder of life come into play. Those little deviations that kind of affect what's more likely to happen to somebody. It's very interesting. So, Wendy, I have number 8, balance and order. Let's see.
Balance and order.
With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Well, I love it that you got the Three of Hearts as a supporting energy, Wendy. Balance and order gives you your joy. And that's my sense of it. You know, and the first thing that popped into my mind, honestly, is silly, but Marie Kondo. So if there's something you need to downsize, reorganize, you know, it's kind of like feeling better that you're not in chaos. And I don't know. I don't think your kitchen needs work because you're already good at that and you know where everything is.
Well, but, if she got an industrial-sized kitchen, she could send us food. Dr. Hunter,
yes,
come on.
Your
totally kitchen
agree.
Does need
Sorry.
Work, Wendy. Go on.
Nearly missed that, Michael. So, but I think what this is saying here is that balance and order, that brings you your joy, and it maybe there's a little bit of that, you know, that you could be doing right now that could make you feel better and uplift your spirits. That's what I would suggest from that.
All right.
Okay, we have Elena's next, I believe.
All right, and Elena, I have number 22, think for yourself.
Okay.
But better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Whoa, I got the Ace of Hearts on that one. So the Ace of Cups, in support of think for yourself, is that's where your joy absolutely is, Elena. You know, sometimes and I think we all do it, that we want peace in the world, we want peace in our family, we want peace everywhere, and sometimes we end up compromising a little bit of what we believe or think and giving away some time, you know, things that we can't necessarily afford to do at the moment, and even kind of bending our ideas or, you know, it's like what's right for us. And so that thinking for yourself, it might just be a time to take a little bit of inventory, Elena. If there's anyone kind of sucking more life out of you, then you ought to be giving it this time because you need more for yourself then I would suggest you look at that. And it's not too hard, you know. Sometimes it's just about, you know, grounding yourself in your body and taking a deep breath and letting it out and saying, what's good for me today? Do I, you know, how much of myself do I have to give to others? And, you know, keep it real to what is right for you. So I hope that makes sense to you. Thanks for the feedback, Wendy. She says the kitchen is always in order, but she needs balance and order in her life if she feels off. So there you go, a little reminder. Thanks, I appreciate you too, Wendy. This is that's great for the feedback. Now, did I it miss is. Any names, Michael?
I don't think so. I've been kind of scrolling through chat. We've had a good talk. But no, I think
Elena just gave some feedback too. Thanks for that, Elena. That's good.
Yeah, I think we got everybody tonight. Awesome. So, you know, and well, it's been about you know, the usual time too. So we kind of wrapped up things quite nicely. But we had an interesting talk. It was a little bit free form. We, you know, kind of just had a couple of stray ideas ahead of the broadcast. So, and you know, thank you, Wendy, for the idea about intuition. Thank you, Dr. Steve. And we're going to be kind of delving into things from across the veil, so to speak, as you had said, or apparitions, different kind of spiritual things. And I was thinking, let's look at it. I'll gather some information about different cultures and how they view these kind of spiritual apparitions. And
good idea.
Maybe the metaphysics therein. And what does it mean that these different people view a similar phenomena in such different ways? So
interesting.
So some interesting discussions we're going to have next week. So, you know, it's been a good discussion. Thank you again for the topic, Wendy. And it's intuition kind of bleeds into everything that we do in life. It leads into what we choose to believe in. It leads into the path we choose to take in life. We always listen to that intuition. And we have so many different voices of intuition talking to us at the same time because human minds are so complex. We have, you know, different motivations, different things that are pressuring us this way or that. But always a pleasure. Dr. Hunter, any thoughts before we wrap up tonight?
No, happy spring, everybody. And I know that it's a crazy, wild world out there, and we'll get through this. It's all temporary. You know, it's wear your mask. Small thing, just wear the mask. Matter of fact, they were talking recently up here about how there was no flu season because everybody was wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So ordinarily we'd have had a flu season, but gee, we bypassed that. So
well,
it's all temporary,
you know,
people.
It is.
You know, get through the summer into the fall, and I think we can normalize a lot better. And I'm not going to speak to vaccine. It's your, you know, what's right for you. You do what you feel you need to do, and hang in there, everybody.
Well, me personally, I'm going for the modified RNA one, see if I can get some superpowers in this deal. So we'll see how it works out. I will report back to you once I'm eligible.
All right.
And we'll see how it goes. But, yep, stay safe out there. We're going to get through this, you know. And every horrible pandemic cloud has its silver lining, and this silver lining is we've gotten home delivery for a ton of stuff, low flu season, and I realized that I really didn't need to go outside in the first place. So thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We're looking forward to having another fascinating, fantastic discussion next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.